It's a beautiful day. It's April 9th, 2023. Beautiful day in Colorado. And today we're going to be getting into the Bible on Jesus Christ, our Passover. And like I said before, fellowship, I'm glad I don't have to kill an animal and put his blood on my doorposts and so forth. I don't think my neighborhood association would appreciate that.
He's
but
going to clean that mess.
Yeah. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And in the second half of that verse, it says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Usually this time of year, they got that wonderful movie they play. I'm sure all of us have seen it, that movie with Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. Yeah. I love the scene where Charlton Heston goes into Pharaoh and he says, "You know, what have you brought to the Pharaoh today?" And he said, "I brought the Word of God." You know, and he has that Charlton Heston deep voice, and it's amazing. But let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And we all know the story, you know, the Israel, you know, under when Joseph went to Egypt. Well, first there was a famine in Israel. There wasn't enough food and stuff to go around. And so God sent his people to Egypt where there was food and there was enough to go around. And the Pharaoh, he promoted Joseph because he saw Joseph was a man that walked with God. And then that Pharaoh died, and they came up with another Pharaoh that could really care less about the Israelites and didn't treat them well. And so God had to make a way out. First of all, God made a way out to get them out of the land of Israel because there was a famine there. But then where he sent them to was good for a while, but then he had to get them out of there. So God always makes a way out. And whenever we get ourselves in problems, God will make a way out. And so that's actually another way that the word Exodus could have been translated. It's like a way out. And so let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake, gotta love old English, spake. When's the last time you spake to somebody?
I spake to Diane.
Yeah. We're spaking right now. I'm spaking, Lord. I'm doing the work. Anyway, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year." They're talking about the Nisan. So basically, he's setting up the Passover here. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to his house or his father's lamb." And then, so basically they had to get an animal, and he's going to lay out all the requirements here. And if the household is too little, then they were supposed to share a lamb between two households. That's what verse 4 is about. "The neighbor next to his house take according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." And verse 5, "And the lamb shall be without blemish, and a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." Or from the goats, I'm sorry. Thank you, Diane. So they would get this. And see, that's Jesus Christ, we know, is the Lamb of God. And he was without blemish. He was without sin. And see, they would do this to cover their sins every year. And they would kill the animal, and the shed blood would cover their sins for a year, and the they would eat the flesh for their health for that year. Because there's somewhere in Psalms or Proverbs, it talks about that when the Israelites left Egypt, there wasn't a feeble knee among them. They were all healthy. And so they would not only get delivered of their sins, but also their health. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the house wherein they shall eat it. So basically that was, they was their sign. Now that was this is talking about in Egypt, was the plagues of Egypt. If you remember the whole story, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. But every time Pharaoh would say, I'm not going to let these people go, there'd be another plague. You know, first it was locusts, then it was this, then it was frogs and all those sorts of stuff. And yeah. And so this was the one where basically the firstborn of every family was going to die unless they put up the blood on their doorpost to protect them. And verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. It's interesting. I was just reading about one of the bitter herbs. There's a bitter herb called wormwood, and it's anti-parasitic, it's anti-cancer, and it's anti-inflammatory, and it's amazing. So they had a lot of interesting medicines even back then in the Bible. And suddenly in the 20th and 21st centuries, we sort of forgot about a lot of that stuff, and we seem to think that, well, if we just take enough drugs, we'll be fine. Well, sometimes it's not a bad idea to go back and look at the medicines they used in the Bible. And verse 9, eat it not raw, nor sodden with water, but roast it with fire. And basically they had all these rules here, and if they had to destroy, they weren't allowed to keep the meat overnight. That was part of the Old Testament law, because they didn't have refrigeration like we do. They couldn't put it in the freezer and then pop it in the microwave and all that sort of thing. And let's see. Verse 11, and thus shall ye, gotta love this verb before the noun syntax here, and thus shall ye eat it, and your loins girded, and with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste, for this is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you to token on your houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over the plague, shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout the generations, and ye shall keep the feast by ordinance forever. Except, we see in Galatians that Christ was the end of the law. Christ became the Passover for all time, like we read in Corinthians. He was our Passover, and he was sacrificed for us. And so that was the end of the law. And it was for, we no longer have to kill animals and put blood on our doors and all that. I made a joke about it, but it is a serious business, too, that you know, it was they had to do this to keep the destroyer from destroying them. And now Christ did the heavy lifting. He was beat by Roman soldiers, beat to a pulp. His blood was shed. He died on the cross. And because he was sinless, it was he was, like they said here, he had to be the goat or the sheep, had to be the lamb, had to be the first year, and had to be without blemish. He was without blemish. He had no sin. And he took on the sin so that we didn't have to have the consequences of that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people that are still Jewish to this day, and there's a lot of Christians today that are in their church celebrating Easter. But to a lot of those people, this stuff's just a ritual. Oh, I got a marker here. There we go. It's just a ritual. It's just something they go through, and they don't really think about the true meaning of this. And there's nothing wrong with a ritual if the ritual reminds you of the greatness of God's word. And if it doesn't, I mean, basically we have a choice here. We can look at this, we can carnally, like, oh, that's just our local church doing their local thing, and it's a holiday, and we get to, you know, and the little girls get to dress up in their little pink outfits, and the little boys put on their shirt and tie, and mom and dad go to church, and then we go out and have a ham dinner afterwards. And, well, there's nothing wrong with all that, except do you have room in all that for the truth of God's word? So, in Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft, and drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Yes, there's a day coming when Jesus Christ will come back. We don't know when that is. We look forward to it. You know, like I told you, we have friends and relatives that are awaiting the return of Christ. And some people will be alive when Christ returns. But we don't know when that'll be. But we continue to do things like this to remind us of what the truth of the word is until he comes back. And then we got these wonderful verses here that people sometimes misunderstand and misapply. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily..." Oh my goodness, wait a minute. Didn't Christ die for us and make us worthy? What's this unworthily stuff? "It shall be guilty." Wait a minute. Jesus Christ paid the price. How can we be guilty? What's going on here? "Guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you." So what's that talking about? I've taught this. I've broken it down and showed you what the Greek words and stuff are here. But today, instead of doing that, we're going to flip back a few pages. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with biblical research and doing Greek words and stuff. But sometimes, even in English, you can just see the simple truths come out. And you can just see it by context. Because, see, everything in the Word has to fit with other things in the Word. Because, like we read back in Exodus, that they were supposed to do this forever. So does that mean, oh, we need to still, even though Christ came, we need to still do that? Well, you have to take that forever in context of when Jesus Christ said, I'm the Lamb, you know, he's the Lamb of God, and he became our Passover, and he was sacrificed for us, as Paul wrote in Corinthians 5, 7. So we need to take that, what we just saw in Rome, in Corinthians 11, and take it in light of what we see here in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, wait a minute. It said, what about damnation and unworthily and we're guilty? And no, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus. When it says Christ and Jesus, it's talking about the resurrected one. And so we basically are walking with God, and we walk like we're Jesus Christ, or with him, we can walk like Christ Jesus. But we need to change our thinking. Because if we just look at it like we're just going to church, and oh, this is just another ritual, you know, we did this last year, and every year we go to church, and they do the little, give us the little wafer, and the little Kool-Aid, and bing, 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 bing. If that's all it is to you, then, well, then you might have condemnation, because you're going to look at it and say, well, I don't believe this is going to work for me. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the law of sin and death. See, the Old Testament law was a law of sin and death. If you don't do this, you'll die. I mean, there was a whole bunch of things that our culture now celebrates that were capital offenses in the Old Testament. I mean, they're trying to turn our country into Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know, things like that they would kill people for in the Old Testament. Well, we don't kill people in the New Testament, but we look to God, and we don't celebrate. If our culture is evil, we don't celebrate the evil. We celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and how his blood was shed that we could be without sin, and his body was broken that we could be healed. That's, we celebrate that. And for those of people that, we don't condemn all the people that are doing sin, we just say, hey, why don't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be without sin as well. You don't have to live like the world says you should. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. And, you know, it's like Paul said, that which I do, I don't want to do. And that which I want to do, I don't do. You know, our flesh is weak. Our flesh wants to do the wrong thing. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Our sins were nailed to the cross. In the Old Testament, when they did the Passover and they killed the poor little lamb and they ate him, you know, and they put his blood on the thing, it was like a garbage can, and God would put a cover on the garbage can. Inside, it was still full of garbage, and it was still stunk to high heaven. You know, you never notice. In the summertime, in the wintertime, you put your garbage out, and it's like it gets cold, and it doesn't smell as bad because it's cold. But in the summer, when it gets hot, the garbage can really smells. But you know what? In Christ, what happened to that garbage can? God emptied it out, and God scrubbed it out. It's clean. It's so clean inside, you could eat off of it. I wouldn't want to, but you could. That's how God cleaned us from the inside out. We were just old dirty garbage cans, and we're just clean as a whistle. And there's all that filth is gone. And Christ paid the price. But see, if we look at it by the five senses, and we just say, oh, that can't be right, then we're gonna eat unworthy, and we're going to eat damnation unto ourselves. But we can't really be damned, because we have eternal life. We accepted Christ. But we can suffer the effects in this life, where we'll have a miserable life and we can have miserable disease and so forth. But that's not the will of God. I was in one of these verses here. Let's try verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Now that doesn't mean if you think a carnal thought, you're going to fall over and die. Whoa, sounds like thunder. Somebody needs to mute. I think, Vince, you got noise coming through your phone there. But anyway, to be carnally minded is death. I think I'm going to have to mute that. Sorry. There. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded
is
what?
Raising his hand.
Oh. No, that's my icon.
Sorry.
There.
Sorry.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we want to think things that are life and peace. We want to put the word on. We want to be not have condemnation in our life because we are walking in Christ Jesus. That's what we want. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And it's really talking about what's going on in your brain. That's really where the battleground is. It's all happening between our ears. Verse 9, but we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you got to be born again. If the broken body and shed blood works if you're born again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now now our body's still alive, but this is talking spiritually. Eventually, this body will die. If I live long enough, and I probably won't live to be 980 years old like Methuselah. And if Christ doesn't return sooner or later, this body will break down. And if Christ returns, we're gathered together. It leaves behind the body and soul, and the spirit goes up, and we get a new spiritual body. I don't really understand how all that works, because God doesn't tell us everything about that. We could only know what he makes available for us to know. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That Holy Spirit that's in us can be a source of life and health to us. So you can live longer. You can live healthier because you have Holy Spirit in you. And that's not even taking part of communion. That's just a truth. Isn't that amazing? Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's see how far I think I want to end here in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And there was a long time I never really understood this. And I said, why would God adopt us if we're sons of God? And it's an Orientalism that God loves us so much, we're sons. But in that culture in the world at that time, you could disown your son. Your son could be just such a useless SOB or whatever that you could say, I disown this son. I don't want anything to do with him. But if you then adopted somebody, you couldn't disown the one you adopted. So it's a dual level thing. God, we're God's sons by seed, and we can't lose that. And then God also said, I love you so much that even though my seed's in you, I've also adopted you. That's what God thinks of us. And he's begging us to walk spiritually and put on the mind of Christ and not to walk by the five senses. And when we do, it's to our health. Then we're healthy. That spirit will make our body healthier. And you ever notice that when you're walking with God, like your car lasts longer, the roof on your house lasts longer, your clothes last longer, you stay healthier, all the diseases that everybody else get, you don't get it as often? Or I noticed when I first got in the Word immediately and I became a Christian, that suddenly I didn't get flus and colds as often as I used to. Doesn't mean I never get sick, but it means I'm healthier than I was, and I do better. And it's available, and it's got that spirit in us, is a life-giving force, and that, because that is spirit. Our soul is also a spirit, but that soul life is not an eternal spirit. But it can take life from the Holy Spirit. And I don't understand how all this stuff works, because God doesn't explain it all. We're children. We see through a glass darkly. But I do know God's on our side. And like Diane was talking about, Mr. Magoo, you know, he was the guy who had, like, was so nearsighted. He wore these really thick Coke bottle glasses. Yeah. And he quite often, he didn't see all the what was going wrong in the world. And he'd walk along and something would just miss him. And he'd keep walking, didn't even know he just missed a disaster.
Or he'd be going off a beam or something, walking on some kind of construction girder. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the next one would be there.
And right when and see, God does that for us. And sometimes he shows us what's going on, and sometimes he doesn't. And there's a lot of things in the Bible where God just gives us the information we need, because our brain couldn't contain all the information of everything that's in there. But, you know, and it's good. It'd be nice if we could just do communion, but it's, like I said, it's hard to do over Zoom. But we all remember that because his blood was shed, we're without sin. What does that mean? When we go to pray, we can go before God without any sense of guilt or condemnation or unworthiness. We can go to God and we can pray, and we know that he'll answer our prayers. And we know that we can have healing, because Jesus Christ took one awful beating. I mean, the Roman soldiers, they knew how to kill and maim. And those were the ones handing out the beating. It wasn't like, this wasn't a schoolyard fight. This was professional killers that were beating him. And it was terrible, but because he took that, we can be healthy. So, anyway, I'll have a word of prayer, and then we can talk for a while, and I'll keep the Zoom thing open for a while. And Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for the sending us the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest man that ever lived. And thank you that he was our example. The Bible says he's the head, and the head means he's the example. And like I taught a couple months ago, he was the firstborn from the dead. He's the first man in the human race that broke through that barrier to be resurrected from the dead, never to die again and have eternal life. And he's the first one that gave us back what Adam lost, because he's the second Adam. The first Adam was a soul, and the second Adam was a life-giving spiritual force with Jesus Christ. And Father, just thank you for what we have in Christ, that we have eternal life, we have We can put on the mind of Christ. We can be without sin, and we can have good health, and we can live a long time. And our things that you give us, our cars and our homes and our clothing and our children and our family, they all can last longer, and they can all do better because we walk and our life is with you. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.